Welcome to the Hope City Church Podcast. We're so glad you're here. Wherever you're listening from, get ready for a powerful message that will inspire your faith, challenge you to grow, and remind you that there's always hope in Jesus. Let's lean in and hear what God has for us today.
All right. We are continuing our series in Matthew. We've been in Matthew for almost 2.5 years now. We are finishing Matthew. I think we're going to finish by the end of this year, y'all. All right? We're in a series called Unwavering. And in this series, we're looking at Matthew chapter 21. And everything that happens between now and really like December happened the last week of Jesus' life. Yeah, it's, yeah. I mean... You're thinking, we're talking about the last week from now until like December. Yeah, we are. The last week of Jesus' life. So much happened. So he said so many things. And hey, I just got a request. I should turn that off. Thank you. I just got a request to join the life group. Woo! Good job. Okay, that just showed up. That was a total distraction. That's okay. That's okay. Someone just turned on my do not disturb. Thank you, whoever did that. Okay. Awesome. We're in this study called Unwavering, where Jesus has modeled what it looks like to be unwavering in the mission that Father God put before him. And now he's going to be teaching some things about what it looks like to be unwavering. And today is all about unwavering obedience. Jesus has just finished talking to the religious leaders in the temple about by what authority he has to say what he says. And he responds to them with a comment of like, well, let me ask you this. By what authority did John the Baptist teach the things that he taught? And the religious leaders kind of had this huddle over here, and they're like, well, if we say that it was from God, then our leaders are going to be mad at us. But if we say that it wasn't from God, if it was from man, then all of these people that love John are going to, like, mob us. And so the religious leaders are like, we don't know. We don't know where he got the authority. And Jesus says, well, then, I'm not going to tell you what authority I see these things either. If you don't know that, then you don't know this, right? So Jesus is kind of having this showdown. And then he finishes with his little showdown of authority, and he goes right into a teaching. And I'm going to read this in a moment, but I can't move forward until I'm obedient, okay? Because I'm just going to turn my back for a minute, okay? Because as I was down here worshiping, there was such a heaviness on me. Like, I couldn't even shake it. And it's been on me all week. I'm just going to be really honest with you. It's been on me all week. This heaviness that I could not shake. Like, this exhaustion. And as I was down here, and this is how Father God speaks to me a lot, how Holy Spirit speaks to me about what I need to do, is he'll remind me of something I've seen or a message that I've heard or a book that I've read or whatever. And as I was down here worshiping and this heaviness was over me and Cody came and prayed for me, Pastor Chat came and prayed for me, he reminded me of something. And it was a teaching that I heard from Benny Hinn. And Benny Hinn was teaching in the Tacoma Dome. And he was feeling that same heaviness. And he looked up and he said, you three witches up there, stop cursing me right now. And Holy Spirit's like, you better stop it. So he instructed me to turn my back because it's nothing to do with anyone in this room. He showed me that. It has nothing to do with anyone in this room. But listen, there is power, life and death in our tongue, in the words that we speak. Amen. There are people that have been assigned to speak things against the people of Hope City, the leaders of Hope City, the followers of Jesus that attend Hope City. There have been people that are assigned to speak death and light, death and curses over the work that God wants to do. So right now, in Jesus' name, you people that are cursing Hope City, be quiet in Jesus' name. You don't have power here. I don't accept you. You don't get to have power over me. Be quiet in Jesus' name and go back to hell where you came from. Okay, thank you. That's all I need. I just had to be obedient. I just had to be obedient. And I feel a lot better now that I was obedient. All right? So as we were preparing for this message today, I've been preparing all week, just so you know, it wasn't just today that I prepared. But as we met for prayer this morning, Cody shared a word with us about obedience that God had put on her heart. And Cody, I want you to come and share that word before I start this message this morning. And I want you guys to listen really carefully because God's about to call you and challenge you to do something hard.
So a few weeks ago, actually, I was going through some stuff at home, and God highlighted an area for my life that I didn't understand or didn't know. I've been holding on to a lot of things that I thought brought validation to my life or that I needed to keep me safe or to, if anyone ever asked or didn't believe something that I felt or had gone through, then I had receipts for that. I could share it with them and prove it, right? And so I was challenged by one of our pastors in why was I holding those things? And so when I prayed about it and spent time with God, that's what he showed me. And a couple of weeks ago, he reminded me that he highlighted those areas in my life because that word isn't just for me, it's for many other people too. And I didn't get to share it. And Pastor Paul was like, well, write it down because you might get another chance. And so this morning when they were speaking about the boxes, Pastor Jason was talking about carrying boxes to the altar, I was reminded of the text, and it was, some of you are holding on to painful things because you feel it brings validation, keeping receipts just in case someone questions your scars or your pain. But Jesus said he's all the validation you need. You don't need to hold on to anything that doesn't bring fruits of the Spirit or draw you closer to him. He carries the ultimate scars, and he thought of you with every lash, every mock, every pain. His blood has washed away all things. The enemy would love to hold you back from your purpose in the kingdom authority that he has given you by your past, whether it was done to you or by you. He's asking you today to get rid of it, not look back. You're not going that way. Ask him to show you what you are holding on to falsely, believing you need it, that it's keeping you safe, or that it'll come up again. Leave it all behind. Bury it under the blood of Jesus and pick up your new robe, white as snow, and finish the mission God's called you to be for his kingdom. He will take care of the rest. As on earth, let it be done in heaven. And while I was sitting there earlier, he also reminded me to that it's not just something that we lay down today. So like every day as I'm at home, my kids think we're moving at this point because there's something new that he highlights, a new picture to throw away, a new text to delete, a new something that's in my phone that doesn't belong there, things that I'm carrying around with me and have been carrying for years and years and years because nobody ever saw me or nobody ever cared to validate the things that I felt, but I didn't need anybody to. I just needed God to. And so it has been the most freeing, lightning load that I've walked through. So as you're at home, my challenge is that you continue after Sunday to ask him each day, like, is there stuff in my house? Is there stuff in my phone? Is there stuff in my car? Like, whatever that looks like.
That's right. That's so good. And so today, God's going to be talking to us about obedience. And as we go through this message, I really believe that he's going to be highlighting some things to you. And we're going to be talking about, like, obedience in action. And as God highlights things, I'm going to ask you to do something really bold. And that's come up here, write it down on a piece of paper, and put it in the Great Exchange. It doesn't matter that everyone's, that I'm up here speaking, it doesn't matter that people can see you, because it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about him and what he's asking of you. So as he starts talking to you, move. Move. Because if you sit there, when he's telling you to do something and you don't do it, you can't experience the blessing that's on the other side of obedience. All right? So that's what I'm saying to you. You're not going to distract me because I'm just listening to Holy Spirit. But what the enemy is going to do is try to distract you from doing what you're supposed to do. So do what you're supposed to do, okay? And so Jesus is in the temple. He's had this showdown with the religious leaders. Like, well, I'm not going to tell you what authority I am teaching with. But then he goes on and he's going to tell them this parable. Now, Jesus often spoke in parables because it was a way for him to come out and teach a lesson without actually saying, "I'm talking about you." But when they heard it, they knew he was talking about them, okay? And I want you to understand the parable that he's talking to them about, what he's going to say to them. It makes sense to them. I'm going to explain why it makes sense after we read what he said to them. So we're going to bring up Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 to 32. It says this, "But what do you think about this? A man with two sons told the older boy, 'Son, go out and work in the vineyard today.' The son answered, 'No, I won't go.' But later, he changed his mind and went anyway. Then the father told the other son, 'You go.' And he said, 'Yes, sir, I will.' But he didn't go. Which of the two boys obeyed the father?" They replied, "The first." Then Jesus explained his meaning. "I tell you the truth, corrupt tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you do. For John the Baptist came and showed you the right way to live, but you didn't believe him, while tax collectors and prostitutes did. Even when you saw this happening, you refused to believe him and repent of your sins." Jesus is telling the religious leaders, "You are sinning and you're not repenting. And people that you consider to be the worst of the worst, prostitutes, corrupt tax collectors, are going to get into heaven because they have repented and stopped doing what they're not supposed to be doing. And they're doing what I asked them to do." Jesus uses this example of these two boys, these two sons, and their father because the religious leaders would have been really familiar with the idea of a father speaking and a son responding. The reason they would be familiar with it is because for thousands of years, part of the Jewish tradition was repeating what is called the Shema. Every single day, the Jewish people would wake up, and before they would start their day, they would say the Shema. The Shema is in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 5. Here's what it says. You're going to recognize part of it. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and with all of your might." Amen. I hope some of you recognize this. If you've been around Hope City for a while, if you've attended party with the pastors, you recognize that this is part of our mission. Our mission is to love God and love people. And the part about loving God, we tie right back to the Shema. How Jesus said the most important commandment is to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind, all of our strength. And this is what Jesus is saying to these religious leaders. And they recognize that he's talking about obedience. Because the first word of the Shema here, in Hebrew, that word is translated Shema. And it actually means to listen and respond. Yeah. Hearing in the Jewish tradition went way beyond just hearing with our ears what words are being spoken. It meant to verbally respond our response, and then going and doing what is asked of us. Because when they say, "Hear, O Israel," they recognize that Father God is saying, "Listen to my words, respond to what I'm asking, and do what I'm telling you to do." All right? And so when Jesus gives this parable of sons and their verbal response and their active responses, those religious leaders would automatically know he is talking about Shema. He's talking about Shema. And so the first thing I want us to understand is what Jesus is saying to these religious leaders is that obedience begins with hearing. That's where it first starts, with us being willing to hear what God is speaking to us. These leaders were very familiar with the fact that obedience consisted of listening to what is being said and responding with what they heard, and then doing what is instructed. When Jesus said, which one of these sons responded accurately, if we put up that passage in Matthew, given the first part of the Shema, we would say that the second son is the one who responded, because he said, yes, Father, I'll go. He responded with his mouth, yes, I will do what you've asked me to do. But our Father doesn't just want lip service. Our words mean nothing if our actions don't follow it. Our Father doesn't want us just saying what we think he wants us to hear.
Right.
That's why at Hope City, whatever pastor is up here preaching is not going to just say the things that you want to hear.
Yeah.
We're going to say things that are straight from God's word. And some of those things are really hard to hear. Because obedience is hearing in action. God doesn't just want us to respond with our mouth. He wants us to do what he asks us to do. Did you know that in Hebrew, there's not a separate word for obey? Shema covers it all. Listening, hearing, responding, and doing. Obedience is all of it. It's all encompassing. It's all hearing, all doing. You cannot acknowledge what was being said but not do what was being asked. That's lip service. It's meaningless. So if we only focus on the action piece, who actually did what the Father was asking, then we would say, well, the first son was the one who was obedient. He actually went and did it. Here's the really hard part about this message. Partial obedience is disobedience. Deuteronomy 6:4, the Shema, instructs us to love God with all of us, with every part of us. Actually, this word here, might or strength, it's a really poor translation, because in the original Hebrew language, this word, the word that is used here, it means like every part of us. Every part. There's really no English word to put here. Because it relates to every single part of us. Like whatever, every thought that comes in our head, every word that comes out of our mouth, every action that goes before us, everything should be working in obedience and honor to our Father. Our words and our actions have to align. Both of these sons were disobedient. Do you hear me?
Amen.
Both of them were disobedient. That's the point that Jesus was making. And disobedience requires repentance. Disobedience requires repentance. You know, that first son, he would have been right. Because he went back and he did what the Father was asking him to do. He would have been right if he would have repented. If he would have gone back to his Father and said, "Father, I responded poorly to you and I am sorry. That was wrong. I am going to do what you asked me to do," and then went and did it. All of a sudden, he would be in right standing. But disobedience without repentance separates us from God. And we can't just go and do what was said of us without the repentance, because then that's a heart problem. That's a pride problem. I'm just going to do it, and maybe he'll just like overlook the fact that I was a sasshole. Right? And I said no. Maybe he'll just forget about it. Maybe he'll just sweep it under the rug and let me just continue. Listen. Pride is a thief. Pride will rob you of relationship with the Father. Pride will rob you of humility that keeps you so tender to his voice. Listen. When you have done something, when you have said something, when you have acted in a way that is not pleasing, do not just continue and like, okay, I need to do it the right way now. Go back and repent, whether it is to God first and then to the person. Be humble. Amen. Make it right. I am so thankful for every opportunity that God gives me to practice humility. I am. I say that all the time. God's given me an opportunity to practice humility, and I'm going to step right into it. Because there's this hard truth that Jesus taught many chapters before in Matthew chapter 7 about obedience. It says this, "Not all those who call out to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name.' But I will reply, 'I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws.'" We can say all the right things, but if we are not doing what God's word tells us to do, if we are doing the things that his word tells us not to do, he doesn't know us. "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse, because it's built on a bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash." Guys, obedience is the bedrock of our relationship with God. Obedience is our foundation. We cannot follow him without being obedient to him. Imagine what these religious leaders were thinking when Jesus told them that the worst of the worst sinners, in their opinion, are getting into heaven, and they aren't. Because the worst of the worst sinners had come to Jesus and repented. And were following him. Guys, this is a passage. That passage in Matthew chapter 7 is on my mind at all times. Because I want to make sure, like, I am doing what you say. I'm obeying your word. I am not doing the things that you have called out as not I should not be doing. I need to make sure I'm in right standing. I'm going to invite everyone right now just to close your eyes.
Thanks for tuning in to Hope City Church. If this message encouraged you, share it with a friend and help spread the hope. If you'd like to support what God is doing through Hope City, you can give anytime at myhopecity.church/give. Your generosity helps us reach more people with the message of Jesus. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss a week. We can't wait to connect with you again. And remember, no matter what you're facing, there is hope in Jesus. We hope you have an amazing week.